Blog Talk Radio.
We have teams playing spoilers, teams clinching their playoff spots, and then we have my main, the quarterback god, Peyton Manning, making his return to the field as the Denver Broncos take their first snap of Peyton since week 10. In the words of Drizzy Drake in Future, man, what a time to be alive. And oh, by the way, there's some coaches and GMs being fired, just so you know. What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 3, Unos, Dos, Tres, of the Football Jones. This is your host, Arden, here. Thank you for joining me once again. I really do appreciate it. You guys, when it comes to support, especially of the Football Jones, has definitely been a beautiful thing to see, so I really do appreciate that. But yeah, man, we're back for episode 3, once again, live on the air, of course. But before we get into the show, there's announcements. Of course, please follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. My handle's in the description below. And also check out my YouTube channel, you know, which is constantly getting updated with vlogs. You know, it actually has a new vlog up there in which it documents my experience of working out with Kevin Hart and Nike yesterday, to be exact. You know, I taped all the footage from that and edited the video and even uploaded it last night. So it's up there. And what else I have to share with you in terms of announcements? Oh, yeah. First interview for AST Presents in terms of 2016 will be out this upcoming week. I'm interviewing my good friend Nick Cregan. This is somebody, you know, a young man that's been doing tremendous work, whether it was ESPN or, you know, AOL or the Huffington Post. And he's just constantly doing great things, whether it's as an on-air personality, online personality, or whatever the case may be. He's doing a great job. So we're going to be talking about his life and his career so far. Plus, he's from the Ford side, just like I am. So that's going to make for a great conversation. But, yeah, man, let's go ahead and get into this bad boy. Week 17 is almost over. And as you can tell by the title, it's representative of what Week 17 is about. While they make the playoffs, you're getting fired. And according to reports, you know, the Cleveland Browns should be leading the way in terms of these firings, because not only is GM Ray Farmer, according to reports, is fired, head coach Mike Pettin should be fired. And my Indianapolis Colts, they should be joining that list very soon with the updates on head coach Chuck Pagano and general manager Ryan Grigson, along with other teams who feel as if that, you know what, we need to make changes and we really have to figure out what's going on, and we need to make those changes. So, yeah, so basically with Week 17, you know, it's filled with a lot of stuff. You know, I think that's the beauty of Week 17. And to give Week 17 its credit, because to be honest with you, when I was looking at the regular season throughout the years, I always hated Week 17, because I always felt like Week 17 for the really good playoff teams or the teams that did what they're supposed to do, you know, they didn't take Week 17 seriously. But I think for the NFL, with what they've done in terms of changing the schedule of Week 17, in which you're making division teams play each other, that does make it a little more exciting. That does make the games more meaningful now, because you do know that there's divisions up for grabs, that those division games usually determine who wins the division. So salute to the NFL for that. And that's what was at stake for a lot of teams, man. You know, the biggest game, I think, today, one of the biggest games, I think, was Jets-Bills. That was under the spotlight, regardless of the time. That was under the spotlight. And that was an incredible game. You know, like I told you guys last week, it was only right that the Jets' playoff hopes came down to facing Rex Ryan, who is the greatest Week 17 coach in the NFL today. I mean, let's just keep it all the way 100. When it comes to Week 17, Rex knows how to prepare his butt off. You know, he knows how to prepare. His guys will play for him, and they will make those plays. And unfortunately for the Jets, you know, they had that on their side for years, and then they was on the other side of it, and it cost them the opportunity to make the playoffs. Because just to remind you, if you didn't know or if you forgot, if the Jets won today, they would have made the playoffs. Win and they're in. Simple as that. Or if they didn't win, it would have had to take a Steelers loss for them to make the playoffs. But the Steelers, to their credit, took advantage and they beat down the Cleveland Browns. So they're in the playoffs. But when I look at this Jets team, because I want to touch on them a bit, and oh, by the way, as we're talking to each other live on the air, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos just scored. You know, my dude Peyton, two throws, you know, not that bad. Nice little razzle-dazzle, couple throws here and there. Glad my dog Peyton's back. You know, it's only right that my dude is back, especially with the playoffs is back in town. You know, Broncos out here struggling versus the Chargers. You know, New England losing. If the Broncos win, they will be the number one seed. And Osweiler and the boys are struggling, so it's only right that, you know, that the quarterback God comes back in the game and helps lead the way in terms of, you know, Denver getting that lead back. But we shall see, because it's a very early game, and San Diego could be following the list of teams that likes to play spoiler. But like I was talking about with the Jets, I think the Jets are in a very interesting situation, and it really represents what's really the situation for teams these days in the NFL, which is I don't think there's no middle ground for teams anymore when it comes to expectations and when you're moving forward. I don't think that there's a middle. I think there's really two sides. It's either you're going to be that playoff contending team or that Super Bowl contending team, or you're going to be the team that completely stinks. There's no settling for 8-8 and 9-7 because that doesn't get you anywhere. Nobody wants to be in the middle. And the middle ground. Honestly, I don't think the middle ground really provides you with anything, you know? And actually, as I'm talking to you, the C.J. Anderson touchdown got overturned. We're looking at the replay. Is it right? Yes, it's right. So Denver didn't score. They overturned it. But when I look at the Jets, I feel like they have all the tools in place to be a playoff team. That's just being completely honest. I feel like they have all the tools in place to be a playoff team, and they should be a team that should compete for the playoffs. Like, enough with the rebuilding, enough with the low expectations, enough of that, man. Go for the playoffs. Try to get in there. Try to get in there year in, year out. You have the talent. You have the money. And you know that you're not that far off in terms of being a playoff team. Again, this was a 10-6 team. With Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the way. And I'm not saying that to try to trash Ryan Fitzpatrick because he played good this year. But if you could do what you did with Ryan Fitzpatrick this year at quarterback and some of the injuries and things that happened along the way, then by all means, buy in. Do what you have to do, man. And it's what I told you guys before. I just want the NFL to start limiting the amount of long-term losers that they have, man. We have too many teams in the NFL that have been losers for 10 to 15 years or close to it. And every other sport, how many teams do we see are losers for that long? We have leagues like the NBA, heck, even Major League Baseball, where the losers are losers for just a few years and then they bounce back. Heck, in Major League Baseball, we see teams that are losers for a year or two and then they come back and compete. And that's what we need in the NFL. We need teams to say, you know what, let's focus on right now. Enough with all the long-term talk. Enough with all the 10 to 15 year talk. Let's focus on right now and what's going to get us there. And I think for the Jets, you know, unless you really feel as if you could find somebody better, you have to ride with Fitz. Not bringing back Fitzpatrick isn't an option. It shouldn't be an option unless the man is asking for way too much. If he's asking for like $15 million a year, then all right. But if it's going to take $8 to $12 million, then come on, man, bring him back. Bring him back. But my thoughts on that Jets-Bills game was it was only right that those two play together. I mean, I thought the Jets was going to win. But Rex Ryan, the greatest Week 17 coach of all time, strikes again, and he cost his former team a playoff spot. There's other interesting games going on right now. You have the Seahawks. They're just beating down the Cardinals right now, 36-6. I don't know whether it's the Cardinals going, you know what, man, we'll be all right. We're just going to prepare for the playoffs. Or is it just Seattle, you know, wanting to rebound from that tough loss versus St. Louis last week? And when I look at a team like Arizona, I think about the Cardinals and I think about the Jets because I tweeted this earlier today, which is with what has happened this football season, there's quite a few teams out there that needs to take advantage of how this football season went. Because this opportunity to make a deep playoff run or to win a Super Bowl might not come again. You dig what I'm saying? Especially when, quote, unquote, things could go back to normal next year. Like, if you look at the Jets and the AFC, next year things will be back to normal when, okay, forget just New England, but, for example, the Baltimore Ravens are a playoff contender. When the Indianapolis Colts get back to being who they are. When, you know, Denver, you know, even though Denver is crazy to say Denver, because, you know, Denver could very well be 12-4 and, you know, number one seed, this, that, and the third, but you have so many teams. Wow, they overturned the call again? I'm talking to you guys live on the air while as I'm watching the Denver-San Diego game, and the second time the call has been overturned for a touchdown. These refs must be from San Diego. But, oh, well, back to what I was saying. You look at the AFC, and there's some teams, like I mentioned, like Indianapolis, like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that weren't their normal selves this year. So when you have those teams back in the picture, along with San Diego, I mean, to their credit, San Diego Chargers, they're usually a playoff team that's in the picture. To me, this year was a great opportunity for the Jets to really try to make some noise, because it would only get tougher if next year, you know, when you have those teams that I mentioned get back to normal, those 10 wins might not be enough, bro. Instead of 10, you might need 11. You might need a 12. You know, and when I look at the NFC, only reason why I'm saying for Arizona and Carolina that, hey, take advantage is because Seattle is not Seattle this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we think about Seattle in the NFC, we think about a Seattle team that's usually the number one seed in the NFC. And for the and I know it's only been for 2 years, but for the last 2 years, we've gotten accustomed to thinking the road in the NFC goes through Seattle. So if you're Carolina and you know that the road to the Super Bowl and your conference goes through your place, or if you're Arizona and you know that the road to the Super Bowl could go through your place, you better take advantage. You just have to. You have to take advantage. And plus, you look at the field, you see Green Bay is a team that has problems. They could be exposed. Minnesota is a team that has problems and could be exposed. You know, and then you look at Seattle, they're coming in as maybe, what, the sixth wild card seed? Have to take advantage. If you don't take advantage, regardless of how you feel about next season, this season would be considered a lost season. Just as simple as that, ladies and gentlemen. You have to take advantage of this year with how many teams didn't live up to expectations, regardless if they made the playoffs or not. So that's what, and I think that's why week 17, for me, this season has been very enjoyable, you know. Because forget just about competing for the playoffs and the divisional matchups. It's about seeing teams trying to build on something, you know. It was interesting to me. I feel like for some reason the Patriots didn't take the Dolphins game seriously. I feel like the Patriots, because I think if I'm correct, because I've been hearing conflicting reports all day, I think if Denver wins and Cincinnati already won, doesn't New England drop to number three? So if they drop to number three, then why necessarily would New England not want a top two seed? But I think the obvious answer to that is they're valuing their health right now. They're valuing their health. And I also think, too, if you're New England, you also know that the AFC is showing cracks. It's not the strongest that it's been. So you could be fine. But at the same time, if I'm New England and I have these injury problems and my team is showing cracks in recent weeks, I don't want to play in Wild Card Weekend. Because remember, only the top two seeds get that first round bye, dog. I mean, again, I have to double check. I have to make sure. But that, to me, is what it seems like. You know, again, we shall see. But, you know, there was New England versus Miami, Saints, Falcons, you know, it's going to be interesting seeing the future of the Saints in terms of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. You know, again, like we talked about, the Steelers and the Browns. Those Redskins, wait for the – yo, shout out to the Redskins, man. To be honest with you, the Redskins low-key might be the team I'm rooting for in the playoffs. They low-key might be my team. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It might be my team, son. Because I've become a big Kirk Cousins fan. I became a big fan because you know what it is? Because when you're in his position, you know, with backing up RG3, then everybody wants to make the RG3 Kirk Cousins debate about race instead of just focusing on football. And then you have a guy like him that just straight up is out there balling. I mean, last 8 to 9 games of the season, Kirk Cousins has been the top 5 quarterback in his league for the last 8 to 9 games of the season. Those are just the facts. I'm supporting them. I mean, he could have a tough matchup along the way, you know, in the wild card round, but I'm rooting for him to do well, and I'm rooting for him to get paid. And I think Washington is in the same boat as the New York Jets, which is, you know what you have for right now, build on right now. Don't worry about 10 to 15 years from now. Don't worry about that. Establish expectations for yourselves. The same way I feel as if the Jets should build those expectations of being a playoff team, I think the Washington Redskins should do the same thing too. Because, again, look at that division. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, for the last few years, has been a very inconsistent team. Let's not let last year fool us into thinking, oh, those are the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are still a team that, minus last year, has had December struggles and injury problems. And Jason Garrett is the head coach. You know what I'm saying? So let's remember that. No disrespect to the Cowboys. No disrespect. All respect. But at the same time, let's remember that. And the Giants are always going to be the Giants. The Giants are always going to be that 500 to below 500 ball club. You know, like, let's just be real. And then you already know the Eagles. You just never know with the freaking Eagles. So if you're the Redskins and you know that, then buy in and try to be a playoff team. This year, 9-7, build on that. Heck, unless teams really turn up next season or the Cowboys return to their form from last season, 9 to 10 wins will be all you need to win the division, bro. So buy in and be a playoff team. Give Kirk Cousins a reasonable contract for 3 to 4 years. Pay the man what he deserves and what is going to benefit your team. Build off the momentum. Like I said before, I'm sick and tired of these long-term losers in the NFL, man. No other league or other sport of my knowledge has that long of losers where teams are losers for 10, 15 years, man. 10, 15 years, teams are just losers, man. No playoff berths, constant quarterback changes, head coaching changes, staff changes, just everything. Or if they make the playoffs, it's like a few years here and there, no rings. Come on, man. We don't want to see that no more, man. Get your life together. Be safe, though. I want to take the time to say salute to the Texans for winning the AFC South. Y'all deserve that. Try not to bash yourselves in wild card weekend. If I'm correct, Houston, since they're number 4, they're going to face Kansas City. Well, to be correct here, they'll face either Kansas City or Denver in the wild card weekend. Because based on what happens with this Denver game, Kansas City and Denver could flip-flop. But, yeah, man, go ahead and enjoy our division because we're going to take that back next year. I want to talk about my Colts, too, man. I wanted my Colts to lose today. That's right, I said it. I wanted my Colts to lose because I wanted that top 15 pick, But apparently the Colts could apparently get the top 15 pick. I don't know how. Maybe it's, I don't know, Oakland winning or somebody. Because I know right now we're slotted at 17. I just want a higher pick. And I also want to take the time to touch on the hashtag Chuck Stay, Fire Grigson, because it's been trending at least among Colts fans, and it's starting to catch some attention from maybe, I don't know, local media or national media. Look, I respect Chuck Pagano. The man's a great guy. Ryan Grigson, for as much as we give him hell and crap for a lot of his mistakes, I could acknowledge the fact that he's made good moves, too. But at the end of the day, with everything considered, both of them have to go, guys. Both of them have to go. For as great as a guy as Chuck Pagano is, we know the man has flaws that can't be ignored anymore. It comes down to on-the-field product. We're not going to just focus on the personality and things like that no more. Man, it's about football. We're trying to win games, or as Jim Irsay wants Super Bowls. Not a Super Bowl, but Super Bowls. Nice guys, nice personalities are not going to win you rings, dog. And we need a new coach. And to be honest with you, for as much as I want a new coach, I just want a new GM. I want a new GM that addresses needs in the proper manner. I want the new GM to come in here and realize the fact that, damn, the Colts need to fix their offensive line, and he makes the big moves that really could fix the offensive line. You know, don't just focus on bringing in these lower-graded drafted guards, man. You know what I'm saying? Or these older free agents that are coming in that is not as good as they once was. Try to address the positions here, you know? And most importantly, let a head coach do their job. To be honest with you, when I was reading those reports, and it's basically saying Ryan Grigson basically getting in Chuck Pagano's way and trying to do Chuck's job and how involved he was, it didn't surprise me because Grigson looks like the type of dude that doesn't understand boundaries. At the end of the day, dude, you're the GM. Do your job. You get the right players. You try to address positions, but let Pagano and his crew coach. That's their job. You're not a coach. You're a GM. That would be like Pagano trying to go upstairs and do your job as a GM. That's crossing the line. He can't do that. Now, can you have some say and try to talk? Absolutely. But don't get in the coach's way. You're not one of them. You're a GM the same way that they're not one of you. And I think the biggest thing that's coming from this whole Pagano-Grigson mess is that the Colts don't have a culture no more there. You know, and it may be weird to say because you can say, Arden, how can you say that? You know, the Colts have made the playoffs so many times, and they have a Super Bowl ring, and they've had this history of great players and winning. The reason why they don't have a culture is because I think about those old Colts teams, especially the Colts team that's caught my attention and made me into a fan. There was a culture there. Under Tony Dungy, there was a culture. There was a culture, and there was accountability among the players. There is responsibility, and most importantly, there was a consistency. That's what I miss most. That's what I miss most. I miss just seeing a football team that win or lose is just consistent. A bad game should be every once in a blue moon. Losses are going to come. I'm not worried about wins or losses because I know with enough health, especially with a healthy quarterback, we're going to win our fair share of games. You know my team's resume. 11-win seasons, 12-win seasons, 13-win, 14-win seasons. You know how we get down. So I'm not worried about winning. I'm worried about teams being consistent and just knowing that there's accountability among everybody. And the Colts don't have that. These new Colts don't have that. There's no culture. There's no culture there. And I think now is the time to build it. Now's the time to build it. We're a few years removed from the whole restart, rebuild thing. We now know what we're trying to be. We know the result. Now is the time to build the culture. The same way Tony Dungy built the culture. We need that. The same way Bill Polian contributed to that culture. We need that. We need a culture. We need that. We just have to. That's what these new cultures are missing, and that's why even during the successful seasons, you see these Colts teams get embarrassed and not play good versus non-divisional opponents. I want consistency. I want a team that looks prepared. Culture. You know what I'm saying? Culture, culture. That's what we need. That's what we need. I'm checking the scores right now for a little update. What are we talking about? Looking for a little update, a little razzle-dazzle. Trying to see right now. I see that Kansas City's still beating the Raiders. I see that they're up 23-10. I know that St. Louis 49ers game was close. St. Louis is up 3. But yeah, man, week 17, I think as usual, was a good week. Oh, Peyton with the throw. Let's get it, Peyton. Sorry for cutting myself off, but Week 17 was good as usual. Good games, good storylines, good narratives. And I think the title represents that. Once again, while they make the playoffs, you're getting fired. So along with all this playoff picture news, we're also going to see news about who's getting fired and who's not. And my coach should be up there very high on the list. I also want to say, too, man, let's all wish a speedy recovery to Jets defensive lineman Mo Wilkerson, who apparently broke his leg during the game versus Buffalo. This is a guy in his contract year. you know, one of the best linemen in football on both sides. So for that to happen just stinks. You know, hopefully it doesn't affect his money in a big way. And I think if you're the Jets regardless, you got to try to find a way to bring him back. Man, I'm just happy. My dude Peyton Manning's back, man. They showing the little cool graphics and stuff of Peyton, what he does pre-snap. And, you know, what's so funny, though, I feel as if, especially because I never really talked in depth about the whole Brock Osweiler and Peyton dynamic. It's you know, Osweiler, I think, right now in his career, at this point of his career versus Peyton, you know he's more physically talented. But even though he has that physical talent advantage, that mental part is what plays big in the playoffs. That mental part is what plays big in December and then on to the playoffs. You need somebody who has that mental edge. And I think with Peyton coming back, that is what could take Denver to another level. Even though, again, like I said before, I know Osweiler has the physical talent. I know the Denver Broncos offense has looked good at times under Osweiler, but there's also times where it's looked bad. And again, you know that the man has the physical talent, but when you don't have any type of edge mentally, that could be a huge problem. Which is why I believe that now with Peyton being back, if you're Denver, you have to stick with Peyton because it's all about the mental edge. Peyton has enough talent with an incredible amount of mental edge that you have to ride with that going into the playoffs. Because regardless of, oh, Peyton's playoff record, or he only has one ring, this, that, and the third, it doesn't matter. The man has the edge and the experience that Brock Osweiler don't. You dig what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Osweiler can wow you with some of these great deep throws and with the arm strength and with the zip. That's great. But at the same time, you need somebody that knows how to control the game, that can run the game, master the game, that can make big throws, that's just been in these situations. And Peyton Manning could give you that. And if you have a Peyton Manning that is relatively healthy and ready to go and is ready to give his all in what could be his final games or in these one-game scenarios, you got to ride with that. You just have to. You have a legit reason to. And that's another thing, too, about Denver. They have a legit reason to go back and make this switch. Other teams wouldn't. They do. They have a reason. So let's just see what happens. But other than that, that's today's episode of the Football Jones. Thank you for listening. If you're a fan of a team that didn't make the playoffs like my Colts, don't worry. Things will be all right. Just hope for a good offseason, then we'll be back at it. To my fantasy football players, if you won a championship, shout out to you. If you didn't, no shout outs for you. Work on your game next year. And, of course, when it comes to the Football Jones, there's actually going to be two episodes of the Football Jones in this upcoming week because we have to discuss the playoffs, but I want to discuss both sides. I want to discuss the AFC and the AFC and the NFC. Or who knows, maybe I'll talk about both in one, but at the same time, I like doing these half-an-hour shows, so I'll probably do two. And I'm not going to do it on a Sunday. I'm probably going to do Thursday and Friday, right? Because the playoffs will probably start on a Saturday, right? So, yeah, probably a Thursday and a Friday. And before I end the show, once again, please check out my YouTube channel where my vlogs are up there. And also on my YouTube channel, I'm happy to announce I'm going to have workout videos on there when it comes to basketball and things like that. So please check that out. What else I'm thinking of right now? Oh, yeah, my Tumblr page, of course, ardenlovesports.tumblr.com. And, of course, my interview series, AST Presents. But other than that, that's today's show. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Let's enjoy the playoffs regardless of what happens, ladies and gentlemen. And that's just that. Peace out. Deuces. Happy New Year's. Play my music, man. Just to make me happy.